Ask yourself, would Bush rather address the sad state of the U.S. economy, the business scandals, or Iraq? From Death Row, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
This is Free Speech Radio News. I'm Deepa Fernandez.
And this is radio station WBAI in New York, where it's 30 seconds to 7 o'clock. And, boy, it caught us off guard there. it's almost time for Off the Hook now. Let's fill it with banter for another 20 seconds. Actually, let's play this.
There's nothing but the blues.
Yes, there'll be nothing but the blues on WBAI on Thursday, Thanksgiving Day, between 3 and 5 p.m. This is Dred Scott Keys. Join me as we travel to the Mississippi Delta Blues Festival's Juke House stage, featuring local artists like Eddie Cusack, Bernard Jenkins and the B-Cats, Jackie Bell, Eden Brent, and many more. That's Thursday, Thanksgiving Day, from 3 to 5 p.m., only on listener-sponsored non-commercial radio WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City.
First thing stays on my mind.
And it's 7 o'clock on a Wednesday night. Time for Off the Hook.
The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself while shaving, now I can't make a call. I couldn't get much worse.
Good Wednesday evening to you. The program is Off the Hook. Manuel Goldstein here with you, and joined by Jeff over there.
Good evening.
And Jim over here.
Hello.
And the skeleton crew tonight because of the impending holiday, but we have lots to talk about nonetheless, and we'll be taking your listener phone calls in just a little bit. First, we have something. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about the Forbidden Art Show, which was taking place here in New York City over at CBGB. It's still taking place, in fact. Jeff, it's taking place until when?
It's going on until December 6th.
December 6th, okay. And I guess it's pretty much a display now. You go over to the art gallery over at CBGB's 1313 Bowery. Is that the address or something like that? Or
I believe it is.
Let's see. It's not 1313. If it's something.
Yeah, 1313.
It is 1313. Okay.
Right. 313.
313
Bowery.
Is that what it is? Okay.
That's
well, then that's where it's taking place. But it's where CBGB's is, right next door to the club. And you'll see all kinds of interesting displays over there. We went a couple of weeks ago, saw some nice talks and things like that, hung out with Mark from Negative Land. And that was really great because that was the first time since H2K2 that we had actually seen each other. And it's nice to have people coming back into New York after the conference, like Jello and Mark and people like that, and seeing what's been going on since. And you know, knowing that they're still involved. They're still involved in this whole art for art's sake type of a thing and freedom of speech and all that. If you go to the gallery, I believe they're still giving out these CDs that go at the illegal art exhibit. They're, I guess, they just called illegal art CDs.
Yeah, and I don't know if they're still giving them out though. I had students go,
yeah,
and they didn't come back with the CD.
Well, maybe they just didn't have that survival instinct to go and jump for the CDs. Well,
I'd ask if I were
ask.
Yeah.
You go there, ask. But in any event, even if you can't get it, you can still hear at least one track because we're about to play one track from it. It's a piece from the Evolution Control Committee, and it's basically Dan Rather as you've never heard him before.
Now, we're up to our long-distance dedication.
No, that's not the one we want to play. I swear I didn't cue that one up. This CD player is trying. I know it was number five. I put. You saw me do number five. It went back to number one. That's the one track you can't play on the air. Oh, my God. That CD player is out to get us. All right, let's try this again. Dan Rather.
This is the CBS Evening News. With Dan Rather reporting from CBS News headquarters in New York.
Good evening. Danger. War. Killer. Fraud, CIA, mayhem, crisis, horrible, inflation, military threat, flaming debris, fatal heart attack, stress injuries, prison disaster, economic collapse, dangerous radiation, a tide of violence and human misery, a liar, and an unremorseful killer. Communist international smuggling pipeline, starving victims, and how they die. Chemical weapons, carpet bombs, deaths. FBI killed and injured children. Police conspiracy. Negative attacks. Discipline. Sex and drinking binges. Dying of a heart attack. Dying of breast cancer. Dying of a Japanese nuclear bomb. Mountains of credit card debt. The mountain of cocaine. Tons of cocaine. Atomic bomb radiation experiments. Unwitting test subjects. Dangerous radiation. Marijuana abuse. Hooked on drugs. Time for us to bug out. Rock, rock by rape, rock, rock, rock by rape, rock, rock, rock by rape, sex, drugs, and rock by rape, Nazi war criminals, cancer, garbage, murder, caution, terrorists, castigation, police conspiracy, dramatic urban torture, drunk driving, hostage siege, government shutdown, collapses, desperation, despair, deep into debt, criminals persecuted, semi-automatic handgun, explosive gunman killed a tourist, funeral victims, racist and massive lawsuit, hostage, ethnic war, cancer death rate fleeing for their lives, CIA narcotics operation, hungry, homeless, frustrated terrorists, spoiled, unsanitary, hard-hitting losers, brutal, bizarre, critical bombing. The gang group. Criminal anti-government love triangle. Deeper and deeper into damage, even death. Anti-drug DEA. Worldwide ban. Time for us to bug out. Rock. Rock. Rock by rape. Rock. Rock. Rock by rape. Rock. Rock. Rock by rape. Sex, drugs, and rock by rape. Disgruntled conspirator attack. Killed. U.S. warplane went down in flames. Crash. Gunned down. Shooting death. Blood drops. Murderer. Desperate tragedy. Isn't he dead? Death penalty. Ransom note. Forbidding. Notorious. Overwhelming. Communist urban punishment. Low ethics. Extortion and murder. A plane crash set an entire neighborhood on fire. International smuggling pipeline. Make it faster. Better, cheaper. Health risk, criminals murdering a man. Tough, diplomatic hell on earth. Magnetic radiation, fraudulent assassins, mysterious murder, chemical terrorism, military targets, fatal crash, danger, the freak accident, no known survivors, wild and woolly semi-automatic truck bomb, emergency anti-fatal shooting rampage, notorious negative police brutality, fear, the hidden Nazis next door. Lots of rebels, serious murder, accidents, problems, punitive damage. Like that negative, heart-wrenching controversy. Time for us to bug out. Rock, rock, rock by rape. Rock, rock, rock by rape. Rock, rock, rock by rape. Sex, drugs, rock by rape.
And that's part of our world tonight. For the CBS Evening News, Dan Rather reporting. Good night, and have a great weekend.
Okay, and that little piece there comes from the Illegal Art exhibit from the CD that was given out by... If I can get the position right, the Evolution Control Committee. Here's the story behind that track. It was built from AC/DC's Back in Black and snippets from Dan Rather newscasts, but the piece was released as a single in 1999 by Erie Materials, but it was then withdrawn under threat of litigation from CBS. So, if there's anybody from CBS listening, I guess they're pretty angry now, but that was a pretty good piece, I think, from Evolution Control Committee. Their website is evolution-control.com. And if you want more information on the CD, in case you're not able to get it or in case you can't book a flight to get to New York to see the art exhibit by December 6th, go to www.illegal-art.org and learn more that way. Okay, what else is going on? Quite a bit, actually. Let's see if we can try and get to at least some of it before our limited time is up. Well, here's a warning, something that I think we should pay strict attention to. The administration would like the federal government... Now, pay attention, kids. This is important. The administration would like the federal government to have the capability to read any international or domestic computer communications. The FBI wants access to decode, digest, and discuss financial transactions, personal email, and proprietary information sent abroad, all in the name of national security. Now, to accomplish this, the president would like government agencies to have the keys for decoding all exported U.S. software and internet communications. This proposed policy raises obvious concerns about Americans' privacy, in addition to tampering with the competitive advantage that our U.S. software companies currently enjoy in the field of encryption technology. Not only would Big Brother be looming over the shoulders of international cyber surfers, but the administration threatens to render our state-of-the-art computer software engineers obsolete and unemployed. There's a concern that the Internet could be used to commit crimes and that advanced encryption could disguise such activity. However, we do not provide the government with phone jacks outside our homes for unlimited wiretaps. Why, then, should we grant government the Orwellian capability to listen at will and in real time to our communications across the web? Very wise words, I think. Don't you?
I agree,
yes. I think we should heed these words.
Absolutely.
What about you, Jim? You think we should heed these words?
I think those are words well worth heeding.
Yes. Do you know who wrote this?
No.
John Ashcroft wrote this a few years ago. Isn't that something?
Ironic.
Yeah, I left out certain words like Clinton to throw people off. But yes, this is actually something that that John Ashcroft wrote back when he was not in power and when the Democrats were. So it just goes to show how two-faced everybody is. By the same token, you know, the Democrats would be doing the exact same thing if they were in power right now, in all likelihood, or just something slightly different, but probably...
they'd smile a little more. That's about the main difference.
They'd smile a little bit more. That's true.
Not very much.
So yeah, that's something to chew on for a little bit. Yeah, it's the Homeland Security Department is in full effect. They signed it. Bush signed it. There is now a new department that will be formed over the next, I guess, couple of years. Biggest reshuffling of the federal government in 55 years. Tens of billions of dollars going to this effort, and a department with unheralded powers that we can only imagine the kinds of things that are going to be going on in the Department of Homeland Security.
I was happy to see that the webpage was celebrating this with their Homeland Security Holiday Special.
Who? Oh, you mean us? We did that. I thought somebody else might have done it. Yeah.
No, it was wonderful.
Well, actually, you know, we had planned this for a while. We had planned on having our holiday specials for 2600 come out right around that time, and we decided what better name than the Homeland Security special thing.
Holiday special, yeah.
The Homeland Holiday... I don't know what
exactly... Homeland Security Holiday Special.
Homeland Security Holiday Special. Just has a nice ring to it. But by coincidence, we debuted it on the very day that the Homeland Security Department was created, so...
Can I get it on a videotape?
Can you get what?
The Homeland Security Holiday Special.
Yeah. It's an animation. No, but if you go to our website, you'll see all kinds of things as far as that goes. But no, it's a serious matter. In addition to that, but we also feel we have to maintain some sense of humor throughout this, or we're just going to go mad. Like for instance, today, just to show that the Bush administration has a sense of humor, they appoint Henry Kissinger to oversee the 9/11 investigation. The investigation that that everyone else wanted to do independently. Bush was against that. Now he says, okay, well, let's appoint somebody object. Henry Kissinger, yeah, he's not doing anything. Ah, boy, they have me laughing a lot. And We'll just see where this goes, you know? Just when you think it can't get any worse. Let's read some listener mail, and we'll go into some other news. This person has been pricing some handheld scanners from the Netherlands that are unblocked. You know, they can receive those frequencies that we're not allowed to hear, 800 megahertz and all that. And he was seriously considering making a purchase, but he had some concerns. He says, I know customs inspects packages coming into the country, so my question is, are they going to know that this scanner isn't exactly legal anymore in the U.S.? I want to order a scanner while the technology is still available somewhere, but I'm not too thrilled with my name and address being on the customs list. Well, it is a concern. Of course, people should be concerned with this kind of a thing, but if enough people do it, if enough people order things that they feel they have the right to have, well, you'll be tying customs up quite a bit, writing down everybody's name, you know, and that's one thing right there.
And he could promise not to listen to those frequencies.
He could do that.
Yes.
Well, I don't think fear is a reason to not pursue something that you're interested in, especially something technologically valid, like listening to a certain frequency.
Those scanners have a lot of other uses.
You might also want to check with the manufacturer, because some manufacturers will guarantee that you get it or that you won't get charged for it if it gets confiscated or something like that. They'll take some kind of responsibility for getting it to you. But a lot of people are asking the same questions, and it's important that you not back down and accept it. Otherwise, you have a situation where we just believe that, yeah, you're supposed to block frequencies. Isn't that the way it's always been, you know? Region coding, you know, you can't see things from other countries. Of course not. Why would you want that? So be careful, because people get born into this kind of a thing, and they don't know any other way. So it's important for us to carry on the traditions of a freer age. Let's see, this person wants to know, I'm looking for a satellite service provider that will enable me to view TV channels from Africa, Europe, Asia, South America, Central America, the Caribbean, etc. This person wants more than me. Is there any company you may suggest in terms of service quality and price? Well, I'll make it easy. I can't suggest any company in terms of anything, because I don't know of any company that exists where you can get all of that, short of a big dish, which, you know, is huge, 6 feet or something like that. And you'd have to know a lot about where to tune and where to point.
I think that they're actually 10 feet, those dishes.
Oh, they're 10 feet.
Yeah.
They just keep getting bigger. And as far as commercial things like DSS, 18-inch dishes, nothing that I know of exists. The closest you'll get is the Canadian dish, which you need a Canadian address for. You won't get things from South America, though. I know that people want to get Brazilian TV, and I have no idea how to get Brazilian TV. There's a network of Globo that a lot of people want to see that it's just not available in this country. And considering Brazil is a pretty big country in our hemisphere, you know, every other language is represented. Spanish is represented, English is represented, but not Portuguese. So that's something to consider for the programmers out there, programmers of these networks, that is. Off the hook, you often mention BBC reception on shortwave. If you are as hooked on BBC as I am, look into XM satellite radio. You get crystal clear reception of BBC 24/7 in your car or at home, as well as 100 other channels. See xmradio.com. I have it now for a week. It works great. Radio costs around $130, and you need a home or a car kit in addition. The kit includes radio, cradle, antenna, power supply, and connecting cables. Each kit is $70. I got both. To activate the radio, you have to subscribe to XM service, which costs $10 a month, plus $10 one-time activation fee. Well, that's all fine and good, and it's nice to be able to drive around and hear the BBC crystal clear, but the reason I'm against services like this, XM, Sirius, there's two of them right now, they control the content as well as the actual technology, and that, I think, is a very bad thing. Because let's take a place like this, a place like WBAI. We have lots of good programs. They should be heard in people's cars around the country, around the world even. How do we get on the air there? We can't, because we don't own the air. For some reason, XM owns the air, and Sirius owns the air. They own the satellites, and they control what goes through them. Now, I would have no trouble with this company owning the satellite and charging some kind of a fee to access the satellite, something reasonable. But they also control who gets access to it, and I have a big problem with that. We cannot do a show like this over that service. We cannot have a station like this on that service. There's great potential. You could theoretically have hundreds, if not thousands, of radio stations available to every car in the nation through a system like this, because audio does not take as much bandwidth, nearly as much bandwidth as video, and you get something like 400 or 500 channels of video on a regular 18-inch dish. You can probably get a lot more audio through a similar type of a system. So the technology is there. They could do this if they thought it was worthwhile. Maybe, unfortunately,
maybe we should have listeners contacting these companies and letting them know that they would subscribe mm-hmm. if something like this public radio were available.
Yeah, and unfortunately, it's really only people who listen to stations like this that I think would put that forth, because most people, they just want a music box. Mm-hmm. You know, people who listen to the crap that's on radio these days, you know, it's owned by the same people. Clear Channel owns all the radio stations, and they own a good stake of XM as well. So it's not going to make much of a difference to them if you listen to the local radio or if you listen to the satellite. It's basically the same type of programming. Maybe there's fewer commercials or no announcers or something like that, but it's still not local radio. It's not individual radio. It's not freeform radio. So show me where the freeform radio people can get access to a technology like this, and I will endorse it. And I'm sure other people will as well, but right now it's just another way that corporate America is building walls between people and broadcasting. It's unfortunate, too, because technology is advancing in many good ways. Okay, what else do we have here? Some suggestions on... you're talking about people getting sentenced to life for being convicted of hacking under this various new laws that are coming down. And this person suggests that if you hack into a power station, it's just, almost every word here is misspelled, so it's very hard for me to understand what the person was saying. But basically, they were saying if you hack into power stations, you have the potential to turn streetlights off, and if you turn streetlights off, that could have a possible effect on life.
True.
Okay, yeah, I can understand that, and I guess if it has a possible effect on life, that means that it could cause death. And by causing death, that means that you must be sentenced to life. It's kind of complicated, but it does. You can follow the logic, sort of. But by hacking into a power station, maybe that's not what the intent was. Maybe that's not even what the possibility was. And maybe you didn't even know what you were doing as far as what you were hacking into or connecting to. It is kind of a scary situation to even contemplate. This person was reading Slashdot, and that's still legal, by the way. I came across this article, which we won't give out the URL because it's got all kinds of numbers and symbols in it. It's basically about a company called Anti-Leech. You can go to them at www.anti-leech.com, trying to make money by forcing people to view pop-ups in order to view site content. I thought this was a lot like people with TiVo blocking commercials. According to their site, 15% of Internet users use some type of pop-up blocking software. I myself use Mozilla to disable pop-ups, and Mozilla is really good at disabling pop-unders as well, which, God, I hate those. And every time I open up Explorer, for some reason, sometimes things don't work in Mozilla, you have to open up Explorer, pop-unders everywhere, you know, because all the sites that you've been going to, they send them. You just don't get them if you have it set properly. Anyway, I found it especially ironic when they advertise their software to block spam and ads, but at the same time, they have software to force people to view ads in order to see a page. And in addition to that, I believe someone either at that company or related to this described people blocking these pop-ups and pop-unders as thieves, because they're not looking at the whole thing. They're not allowing the advertisers to reach them. This person comments, great, now I am a thief and a terrorist at the age of 15.
So if they go through my garbage and find unopened junk mail, is that theft?
Don't be stupid. Don't be stupid. At least open it. You don't have to read it, but at least open it, take it out of the envelope, and throw it in the garbage. If you don't open it, then you're not reading it, and they know you're not reading it, and you're depriving them of potential income.
And stealing, okay.
Stealing, yeah. And don't expect me to defend you when they catch you.
No. All right, I'll stop it.
All right. Theft is wrong. Theft is definitely wrong. Let's see what else. I listen to the show all the time. As for the eye on the DARPA site. Oh, yes, the scary eye on the DARPA site. Since the USA is not in view, okay, do we have the site, the URL with the crazy eye? Do we have that URL? We have it someplace, but we were talking about it last week. And basically it's an eye that has the whole world, but you don't see the United States. And since the USA is not in view, that means that the eye is viewing America. So that's one theory. That's a scary theory, too. Let's see. I just heard the discussion on this past show about the Information Awareness Office, same office, and I went to the site you mentioned to see their logo. I was quite scared, and for more reasons than you, primarily the term IAO. I don't want to go through too much detail or anything, but IAO is an abbreviation that was commonly used in Golden Dawn rituals. You don't know who the Golden Dawn were. They were a secret society of witches around the turn of the 20th century. From my understanding, a lot of our current practices come from them. I'm a Wiccan, and I'm not comfortable with the idea of a secret group running things. I don't want to say much more, but you can check up on that. Aleister Crowley and the phrase, I adore the IAO. And maybe you'll understand my lunatic rantings a little bit better. I wonder, were they thinking? Yeah, you have to think, you know, there is some kind of secret society going on in the government, because the same people just keep getting, you know, dragged up all the time to do these things. I mean, Bush just keeps resurrecting these people. You know, today it was Henry Kissinger. It was, you know, Dick Cheney before that. And you know, all these people in various cabinet positions. If you watch the program Dark Skies, you know, you see how these people had, you know, their beginnings back in the 40s when the UFOs landed and that kind of thing. That's just, you know, another possible interpretation. This person gives us a handy tip here, a way to get free stuff using value cards from Pathmark. That's right. Basically, at my local store, you just put it into their Scan-It system. I found a way to get more free things that they offer when you use their cards and buy $250 plus to get free turkey for Thanksgiving. When you are near the $250 mark, you and a friend use the same card at the same time and buy things that will make your total go over the $250 to get their coupon for the free turkey. At the end of both sales, you will have two coupons for two turkeys. It works every time.
Yeah, it's true. How
many people are doing this? It's kind of late, I guess, for this season, but how do you get the duplicate card? Or do you just use the same card?
You use the same card.
Use the same card twice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, see, I don't use these cards, and there's a reason I don't use these cards, because this is the kind of thing they can track. Not you getting a free turkey, but, you know, what you buy. You know, and since they're very interested these days in what people are buying and tracking that to, you know, terrorist activity, who knows? Who knows what they'll be looking at?
Well, you remember the card they had at Hal?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a nice offer.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone got the same number and was shopping all over the country.
Oh, yes. Unreal. What else here? Okay, in last week's show, you talked about potential terrorists being blacklisted. This list being leaked, possibly making it harder for these people to get loans, lease cars, and function normally in society. This is not the first time that something like this has happened. Remember in the 50s when the government blacklisted potential communists for having different political views? It's true. There was a list. It wasn't quite as well maintained or big as this one is. By the way, nobody sent us the full list. Some people sent us what really is not the right list. There are tens of thousands of names on the terrorist list that's supposedly floating around. And I don't think that's actually up in the place that people listen to this show know about it. So let us know, because we'd like to see just how extensive it is. But basically, it's a scary time we live in. I hate to keep saying that, but it's true. It really is. A massive database that the government will use to monitor every purchase made by every American citizen is a necessary tool in the war on terrorism. That's what the Pentagon said last Wednesday. Edward Aldridge, Undersecretary of Acquisitions and Technology, told reporters that the Pentagon is developing a prototype database to seek patterns indicative of terrorist activity, such as buying two turkeys in one season. Aldridge said the database would collect and use software to analyze consumer purchases in hopes of catching terrorists before it's too late. The bottom line is this is an important research project to determine the feasibility of using certain transactions and events to discover and respond to terrorists before they act. Aldridge said the database, which he called another tool in the war on terror, would look for telltale signs of suspicious consumer behavior. Examples? Okay. All you terrorists out there, now you know what they'll be looking for. Sudden and large cash withdrawals. That's right. So if you need money, figure out some other way of using it, because a large cash withdrawal is suspicious. One-way air or rail travel. So if you're thinking of going someplace, you'd better be coming back, or at least buy a ticket to throw the authorities off. Because, you know, terrorists are never going to think to buy a round-trip ticket and throw people off that way. They could never do that.
And sometimes you can get a ride with a friend from college to go in one direction, and you're going to come back at a different time, so you have to buy a one-way ticket.
That's pure terrorist activity, and no question about it. Rental car transactions and purchases of firearms. Wait a minute. Rental car transactions, period, or rental car transactions along with purchases of firearms? You go to Avis and you get a car and a gun. I think
the two, it's a deadly combination.
Because I know you can go, according to that Michael Moore film, you can go to some banks and get guns. But I don't know if you can get guns when you rent a car. Okay, chemicals or agents that could be used to produce biological or chemical weapons. If you buy those, you're also in trouble. It would also combine consumer information with visa records, passports, arrest records, or reports of suspicious activity given to law enforcement or intelligence services. The Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, that's DARPA, is home to the Pentagon's brightest thinkers, the ones who built the Internet. DARPA will be in charge of trying to make the system work technically. Rear Admiral John Poindexter, former National Security Advisor to President Reagan, is developing the database, as another person resurrected, under the Total Information Awareness Program. Poindexter was convicted on 5 counts of misleading Congress and making false statements during the Iran-Contra investigation. Those convictions were later overturned, but critics note that his is a dubious resume for someone entrusted with so sensitive a task. According to Aldridge, John has a real passion for this project. Oh, this is going to be good. This is going to be so much fun, just watching it all fall apart. Hear about the spokesperson for Jean Chrétien up in Canada called Bush a moron last week at the NATO summit. I don't know what Bush did. Bush did something to piss off the Canadians, and she just muttered under her breath, what a moron. And unfortunately, two people from the press overheard that and reported it. So she got into all kinds of trouble for that. But the Prime Minister refused to accept her resignation. But she did it a second time, and that time he did accept it. So she
was it recorded or just...
No, it was not recorded.
Okay.
It was not recorded. And, I mean, you know, people do react sometimes. But I was watching Canadian TV while this was going on. I didn't see very much reporting of it here, but it was the top story over there. People were afraid. You know, they were afraid of the United States, you know, saying something like that about our leader, you know, what we would do and how we could hurt them. So there was kind of a backlash in Parliament, and there's a lot of pressure for her to resign. But I thought it was kind of good that the Prime Minister didn't accept her resignation right away. Something else, too, I also saw on Canadian TV, that people in Canada will appreciate, but people here probably won't. They have this feature that is on every now and then on one of their programs, and they had an hour-long special called Talking to Americans. Now, this is where they come down to the United States, and they tell us things about their country that make absolutely no sense, and we just buy into it hook, line, and sinker. And it's just amazing the kinds of people that buy into it and the kinds of things that they say. For instance, they were at, I believe, Columbia University getting people to sign petitions to outlaw the controlled rhino hunt that's taking place in Ontario. Because, you know, rhinoceroses are cute, and, you know, you don't want to be hunting them, and especially, you know, in Ontario. There was also concern over the Russian invasion of Chechnya and Saskatchewan, and and it goes on. It really, the woolly mammoth over in Northwest Territories, they want to, you know, help those creatures out, and various other things. Congratulations, Canada, on opening your first university. Well, yes, I think it's a good idea for you to have university. And there were people there talking on camera who were college professors, history majors, people like that, you know, that had no conception. One person was asked, do you think it's a crisis that 3 out of 4 Canadians can't find their states on a map or don't know who their congressmen are? And, of course, Canadians don't have either one of those things. But an educated person was saying, yeah, I think that's a real crisis. And they even got Bush. They even got Bush. He was passing by in campaign 2000, and they said something. They called out something to him, saying Prime Minister so and so, completely fake name. In fact, it was some kind of French food that they named instead of the guy's real name. And they said, this guy just endorsed you, and he congratulated the guy that doesn't exist. He had no idea what his real name was. I don't think Gore did much better. I think he was caught thinking Toronto was the capital of Canada. But, you know, then I started asking people I know. I started asking them, you know, do you know these facts? And I realized most people don't know these facts. Most people do not. I saw Harper's Magazine this month. 13% of people surveyed could find Iraq on a map. 13%. You know, more people knew where the latest Survivor was taped. They could find that on a map, but they couldn't find the country that we're going to be bombing soon. It's unbelievable. Now, Jeff, you deal with school kids.
Yeah.
Being a school teacher.
Of course.
Now, is this true? Are people really? And if so, why? Why don't people know these things?
It's a good question.
It's your fault. You're supposed to be teaching them.
I teach them other areas, other things. That's not our cup of tea, but it is frustrating when you do run into situations where they need to have information about a project, and it's not there.
Well, I think the interest has to be there to start with. You know, people have to be fascinated by the subject matter, and if they are, then, you know, they can pursue it.
And I can also bet that when they, you know, the Canadians came down and spoke to the Americans, and you never see the 5% that do know where things are. They don't put that on TV.
There was a kid that said, hey, wait a minute, they have provinces up there, not states. So it was
an eight-year-old kid
knew that. And they did show in the closing credits, they showed some people saying, this has got to be a joke, right? So there are a few people. I doubt they showed all of them, but I do know from first-hand contact that so many people, I mean, I've convinced people that there are two Indias, because if you hold a map up, right, they always have to put the United States in the middle, and that means you have an India on the right and an India on the left. And I said, no, the India on the left, that's the one that Columbus was looking for. The India on the right is the one with, you know, Hindus and people like that. And I've had people believe this. You can tell people all kinds of things, and it's unbelievable. It's a lot of fun, too. But, yeah, that program, you will never see that program here. That's what bothers me. You see it in Canada. It's hilarious. We can't laugh at ourselves. Canadians laugh at themselves all the time. You know, you should see how they make fun of each other. But we're a lot more sensitive.
Yeah, but our late-night shows do things like that, where they go out on the street and talk to people and make them look like idiots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's just in general. You know, not as far as, like, the rest of the world. These are just, you know, people looking like idiots in everyday life. But as far as knowing how the rest of the world works, caring about the rest of the world, that's something that's more or less accepted in our society. And that's what I find bothersome, especially since we're going around, you know, mucking up everything in the rest of the world. We should at least know something about it. Okay, let's see. A little bit more mail, then we'll take some listen to phone calls, 212-209-2900. Here's a typical response that you might expect. I have nothing to hide. Look wherever you think necessary to secure the safety of our nation. If you have something to hide, move to Iraq. That's your American populace there. Nothing to hide? No problems. Let's confiscate our rights. What else? Some people wrote in about GSM phones, because we had a lot of questions about those. It does seem as if you cannot switch companies when you're in other countries. In other words, if you're in the Netherlands, you can use the country, the company you're signed up with, but you can't switch to another company. However, if you visit the Netherlands, you can use whatever company exists there. And if you're in the Netherlands and say you visit Germany, you can use those companies, but you can't use more than one in your own country. So, okay, I guess I was under a false conception this whole time. And the system actually works somewhat similar to the way it works here now, where we have AT&T and VoiceStream on the same system, but you can only use one. The California Supreme Court ruled 4-3 on Monday that a former Purdue University student now living in Texas cannot be forced to answer in California for posting computer code on the web that unscrambles DVD encryption technology. That was the ECSS case, and though Justice Janice Rogers Brown shot down a suit in California, she said the DVD Copy Control Association could still seek recourse in other states. So I'm not really sure what that means. I mean, that affects us, obviously, because we were sued also for the same case. But apparently they do not have jurisdiction over us in California, which is what we were saying all along. So I hear a Supreme Court person say that. What else do we have here? Well, this is kind of scary. This person sent this in the mail. This comes from the New York Public Library. It's actually a piece from their newsletter. It's called "The New Access Card Opens a World of Information to Readers in the Research Libraries and Protects Collections." Yeah. And this is, you know, this is one of their positive things that they send out to all their patrons. Along with the New York Public Library's mission to provide free and open access to materials comes its responsibility to care for its collections. Yeah. So patrons can fill out a brief form at the library providing information such as name, phone number, permanent and local addresses, birth date, occupation, and email. Patrons then submit those forms at registration desks set up within each research library where their photos are taken. Each patron's photo appears on his or her access card issued on the spot along with name, barcode, ID number, and signature. Patrons may also submit their registration forms online to be held for their arrival, further expediting the process. Now, here's the thing. I think the major concern our readers have is that the personal data they submit will be used for other purposes, but they can be assured that we will protect their privacy, said Cynthia D. Clark, Director of Technical Services. In fact, the only instance in which we have released this information would be if we were required to do so by law. Great. That's if you look at some of the crazy laws that are being passed lately, there's quite a few instances where you would be required to give that information.
And I want a definition of protect your privacy.
Mm-hmm. Well, it says here, as a result, the library will be able not only to prepare more accurate reports on collection use required by state and federal agencies, foundations, and other contributors, but make more informed decisions on strategy for acquisitions and preservation. So they have to report already to state and federal agencies on collection use. It's unheard of in the past where people would actually be monitored for what they read and take out of the libraries. But that's what we're looking at right now. Let's see. Kevin Mitnick book tour is continuing. He's appearing in Colorado and California in the first week of December. For information on that, look at our website. You'll see a little story there about Kevin Mitnick's book tour. And I think those are the last dates on that tour. If another one opens up, we'll certainly let people know. And, of course, Kevin will be completely free of his supervised release in mid-January. So we'll be...
January 20th.
Yeah, we'll
is
be
his
covering
last day.
That. I'm not sure if it's January 20th, midnight going into the 21st.
Yes, yeah.
Midnight going into the 20th.
The 21st is the day he is allowed to use the Internet.
Okay. So that'll be an interesting day on the net, that's for sure. Okay. Shall we take phone calls? 212-209-2900 is... look at this thing I got from AT&T. This is expand your local calling area. And it's got a picture of New York State.
Now, is this area kind of like an elevated threat? Is that what that's about?
No. Oh, no. Yeah,
oh, okay,
it uses different colors. There's different colors in the state, but they
Buffalo is green.
They don't correspond to the Homeland Security Defense colors.
Manhattan is orange.
Yeah, as well it should be. By the way, somebody wrote in to ask us how come... We were talking about the Homeland Security specials that we have on our website. We have red and orange packages. Those are the most severe packages. Mm-hmm. If you're caught with those packages, you're definitely suspicious. Yeah, and we can't back you up as far as why you have all this material. But we only offer those packages to the United States. Now, they wanted to know what we had against Canada and what we had against the rest of the world. We don't have anything against them. It's just that what's happened lately is the post office has raised their rates to such a degree that we can't afford at those prices to send things out to other countries. It just would get crazy. And if we were to add on the actual postage, it wouldn't look like such a good price anymore. Unfortunately, that's just what they've been doing. They've been raising rates like crazy.
But if someone were really interested, couldn't they contact 2600
and
find out?
All that stuff is still available on the site. You just can't get it through that particular means because we slashed the price on that. And even in the United States, the rates have gone up a lot. It costs, I think, three times the amount to send something to California now than it does to send it to New York. It never used to be that way. So it's scary in a different kind of way. But anyway, this thing that AT&T sent me, it basically says expand your local calling area. If it's just $5 more a month, you can stretch your local calling area to include the entire region where you live. That's right. All calls throughout that region will be considered local calls and won't cost you a dime more than a call across town. Now, again, look at this map.
It's not a dime more. It's $5 more.
Well, okay. Yeah, that's true. But the calls won't cost more because you're paying $5 more.
Okay.
But not for the calls. For the service. Now...
we'll step into the gray area.
Well, the thing is, they show you a picture of the state there. And I looked at that and I said, wow, I can call off New York State. But, you know, now I'm thinking maybe I can only call in my particular color. Now, how do you interpret that? You know, yeah, they have all these different little colors. Is that your region? If that's your region, that's no different than what I have now, you know, with Verizon. So it's really
deceptive.
Don't
you pay more once you jump out of an area code?
Not if you have unlimited regional calling.
Okay.
So that's...
Are there no phones in the gray area?
I don't know. It looks like there's no name or anything there.
Yeah, nothing. No dots.
That's right to the east of Buffalo. Yeah, that's the strange place. They also sent me an $80 check. An $80 check to cut over to them. Now, this service cost me like $25 a month. I've been trying to switch my phone line over to a company called Zetel. Have you ever heard of Zetel? You've heard of Zetel.
No, I haven't heard of Zetel.
Why'd you snap your finger like that?
I didn't snap my finger. I was pointing at the map because I know what this gray area is.
All right, what's the gray area?
That's the local phone company in Rochester. They have one
RCI,
of those...
right? Rochester Communications, Inc. That's what they used to be called. They might be called something else now. But yes, I do know there's a local company up there.
Is it a coincidence that that's a gray area?
Ooh.
Well, maybe they don't provide any service there. But regardless... this Zetel company is, they use MCI's The Neighborhood, which we talked about several months ago. And I think for about $50 a month, you get unlimited local and unlimited national. So it's an interesting deal, and I wanted to try it out. Problem was, to do this, you have to switch your Verizon service over to them. You can do it on the web, but for some reason, if you have certain services on your phone line, it won't work at all. For instance, if you have selective ringing, like different phone numbers, which mm-hmm. sometimes Verizon gives you without even telling you, like they did with me, it just won't go through. And they won't even tell you. You'll call them and they'll say, yeah, it didn't go through, and sorry, we can't provide you service unless you take these things off your phone line. So I'm trying to take these things off my phone line, but it's really hard to do because Verizon has cut back on their hours. They close, I think, at like 7 now. They used to close at 8 or 9. I tried to do it on their website. I have to say, they have duplicated the frustration of being on the phone and put that onto their website so perfectly that you can't tell the difference anymore. I tried maybe for an hour and a half on the website to get access to the actual account and do this. And it just doesn't work. System hangs. You get pages that don't exist. You get all kinds of errors. You're told you're not authorized when you are authorized. And the point is, I haven't gotten these services off the phone line yet. I'm wondering, would it be illegitimate to cash this $80 check that AT&T has sent me to sign my long distance over to them and then immediately switch over to Zetel? It doesn't say anything here about how long I have to stay with them. And I figure since they confused me with that map, you know, that's worth $80. Give it a shot. I don't know. I'm not saying I will. I'm just thinking about it.
I've got one question for you.
Okay.
I wanted to discuss the fatwallet.com and the fact that, I think half a dozen stores sent a letter to Fat Wallet accusing them of the DMCA law, stating that they had they usually use information and things that they get so you can find the best deal, and because they had all the Black Friday information from the different stores a couple weeks ago, they were being threatened and they were using the DMCA law. I couldn't understand how that was applicable or how they could get away with that.
They're saying that prices are a trade secret?
Well, a trade secret, maybe that is a trade secret, but how do you call that the DMCA, you know, the Digital Millennium Copyright Act?
They're going to try and use that for everything they possibly can. I mean, somebody has to challenge it every time they do this. So, yeah, they'll go after, you know, sale prices and say that's information that, you know, isn't meant for... It's ridiculous because obviously they want it to get out to other people. So I don't see this standing up. I do see it being a big waste of time for somebody.
Okay.
So how has this company responded?
From what I understand, the information is still up.
Uh-huh.
But a friend of mine that had made me aware of this said that he's basically just going to go to the different stores and tell them, look, I'm not shopping here during this period just because of what you guys are doing and how bad this is. It's a shame. It's not what it was meant for.
Right. That's what you have to do. You have to let them know this and make sure the right people hear about it, too. Take some phone calls, 212-209-2900. Let's go over here. And good evening. You're on the air. Speak up, please.
Hi.
How you doing?
Hi, Emmanuel.
Yes, go ahead.
This is one thing that you missed.
this week.
Only one thing.
This was in yesterday's business day, New York Times.
Okay.
The headline is 100 computers of U.S. midshipmen seized.
Ah, yes. In fact, that story is on our website, and that's something that we didn't miss on the site, but we missed on the show.
It's very scary.
It is.
I see, at CUNY, students are always downloading music.
Mm-hmm.
Should I read a few words from it?
Okay. If you can do it quickly, because we want to take some more phone calls. Just read a sentence or two.
So you don't really have time to hear it.
Well, we can basically summarize
it. Let me just give you two paragraphs. In the most severe crackdown yet on online piracy at a college campus, the United States Naval Academy has seized 100 computers from students who are suspected of having downloaded unauthorized copies of music files over the Internet. School officials confiscated the computers when students were in class on Thursday, an academy spokesman said yesterday. Students found to have downloaded copyrighted material could face penalties ranging from loss of leave time to court-martial and expulsion. And then, of course, theft is a hard, harsh word, the letter to colleges stated, but that is it, pure and simple.
Yeah,
students must know that if they pirate copyrighted works, they are subject to legal liability. But later on in the story, it says that's only one of 2,300 colleges that has so far taken such action. You know, there was music over the line. It was disconcerting and difficult to read over that music.
Yeah, I don't know. I heard that music, too. I don't know where it was coming from. But
maybe it's in my head.
maybe it is. It's possible.
Anyway,
but, thanks for sharing that with us.
Let me introduce you. This is Josh. I met you several times. I met you at H2. What is it?
H2K2.
Yeah, I met you there. I met you in the studios of BAI about, what was it, a week or 2 weeks ago?
Uh-huh.
And it was a pleasure.
Well, great.
Made me feel good.
I'm glad.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing that with us. And,
okay.
Hopefully our paths will cross again in the future under more pleasant circumstances, not revealing how all these people are being prosecuted for downloading music. You know, I had an experience yesterday that made me realize that downloading music is sometimes the best way to get the music. The closing track tonight is something that that a bunch of people suggested I get. So I got it. You know, I went out and I got it. It's a new song by Tom Petty called The Last DJ. It's all about how radio is no longer in the hands of individuals, how music is pretty much being corrupted by corporate interests. So I figured, yeah, that's a good theme to go out on. So I put the CD into my Mac to import it into iTunes, and the Mac crashed. Total white screen, all my applications died, and I had to reboot. The Mac was really upset because, it was a bad shutdown, and the CD didn't eject. CD was stuck in there. I couldn't get it out. Finally, the Mac reboots after a long time, and the CD is still there. It's an enhanced CD. That's the problem. So I pretend that I want to play this enhanced CD, and then I just exit. And that doesn't work. I have to put everything into the trash, all the folders, all the CD icons. And finally, once I get the last one in there, the CD tray opens. And then I had to go to a Windows machine, figure out if I could read the tracks over there, which I was able to do, even though I tried to do the whole enhanced thing. I had to see a music video when I listened to the song I wanted to hear, which was completely what I didn't want to do in the first place. And then I figured out a way, by closing iTunes and doing all kinds of other things to the Mac, that I could actually get the MP3s into my iTunes folder so I could have them. That's how I listen to music, is through iTunes, not by putting a CD into the player each and every time. But I realized if I had simply downloaded this song from the net, I would have had it in a couple of minutes. This took me over an hour, and it crashed my system. It caused all kinds of mayhem. And I looked at Amazon, which is where I bought the thing, because I was really upset. I said, this is crazy. I bought a CD, and it's wrecking my system. It's not a CD. It's not doing what it's supposed to do. And their policy is, if you open the CD, we don't accept returns. That's it. That's their policy. So, yeah, in a situation like that where you have CDs that are actually wrecking your system, I say the more music you can download off the net, the better, because they obviously don't care about the consumer. Okay, let's try and fit in a couple more phone calls. Good evening. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, you're saying how there's so much similarity between the parties, the Republicans and the Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if there was, like, there must be at least another third party that has at least some values that you support. Or is it just the system?
There are third parties, but the problem is the way the system is set up, the third parties aren't taken seriously. And if you vote for a third party like people did in 2000, it's seen as a problem instead of a solution. That's the reason why the election was all messed up, because people voted for a third party instead of a realistic candidate, you know. And other countries, it doesn't work that way. You know, you vote for who you think is the best person.
What do you think if they'd use runoff?
I like the idea of runoffs, because then you're kind of narrowing it down. You know, by the time I get to vote, it's already been decided. I never got to say, you know, I think Bush is a better candidate, you know, than this person, or I think Gore is a better candidate. It was presented to me, Bush versus Gore. You know, how did we make that decision?
Must have been popular vote again.
Well, it wasn't. The thing is, we didn't have a popular vote. You know, there should have been maybe 20 candidates running for the office, and then from that, you know, we reach a decision on who the most likely candidate is.
Just like in Europe.
Yeah, or most parts of the world that, you know, aren't dictatorships.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for calling. See if we can fit in one more. Boy, time goes too fast, you know? Good evening. You're on the air.
Oh, hi. Two quickies.
Yes.
The music in the background, that first caller.
Yeah.
There's a CD player there that has a bleeding line with one of the phone lines, so that's what that was.
How is it a listener knows this and I don't?
Because I listen a lot more than you do, don't I?
I guess so. Wow.
Anyway.
Yeah, you'd think somebody would listen that could fix it. That would be nice.
Zetel. Mm-hmm. A friend of mine switched over to them. You know, they got solicited on the phone. This is a while ago, maybe 2 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And they totally messed up their phone system.
Really?
Like, they had to get their voicemail, and the voicemail picked up all the time instead of the phone ringing. It might have changed since then, but they ended up, like, completely frustrated with Zetel and, like, dumped them very promptly. So,
wow.
You know, just be careful.
Okay, well, you know, it'll be a fun adventure to report on anyway.
Oh, yeah, well, I was just thinking that and saying, like, oh, maybe I'll just let them do it and we'll hear about it.
Yeah, it's the whole thing's a big experiment, so that's why we do this kind of thing. Anyway, thanks for the call. We are out of time, unfortunately. Here's that song that I went to so much trouble to get. We'll be back again next week. Have a good Thanksgiving. See ya.
There goes the last DJ, who plays what he wants to play, and says what he wants to say, hey, hey, hey. And there goes your freedom of choice, there goes the last human voice. And there goes the last DJ.
Whether you celebrate Christmas or Kwanzaa, Hanukkah or Ramadan and Eid, together let's make this a holiday season of conscience to end child labor and sweatshops.
If you think it's wrong that young women in Bangladesh earn just 5 cents for each $17.99 Disney shirt they sew and live in utter misery, this is the event for you. Join thousands from New York's labor, religious, student, and activist communities on Wednesday, December 11th at 5 p.m. for the 6th annual Holiday Season of Conscience Candlelight March to end child labor and sweatshops.
That's December the 11th, starting at 5 p.m. at the Disney Store at 5th Avenue and 55th Street. I'll be there as we march to the tree at Rockefeller Center.
For more information, call the National Labor Committee at 212-242-3002. That's 242-3002.